And hello, good people of the internet. It is I, Tommy Kelly, and welcome to part two of the June question and answer vlogs that we do here on Adventures in WooWoo. If you want to check out the previous video, it went up a couple of days ago, maybe a week ago, and it involved wife swapping and other questions along those lines. So check that out. So we will get straight into the next batch of questions now. And this first question comes from Max. Max asks, is there anything that you find distinctly magical that other people might find to be mundane? And I was kind of thinking about this over the last couple of days and trying to think, is there anything that I do that's probably unique or have a view on something that most people would think is just kind of ordinary that I have a magical kind of outlook on? And I don't really, I think anything that I kind of look at that some people would think mundane, but I think is magic, so do a load of other people, such as like, say, things like books, music, incense, guitars, pianos, whatever these type of things. I think the only kind of way to approach a question and give you some sort of a satisfying answer would be to say that I do find that there is some things we can do in our lives that are seen very mundane, but actually have a very positive, magical result to them. A couple of those things would be things like finishing your to-do list, you know, getting things done. The old standard of cleaning your room or cleaning the area around you does seem to be as every bit as effective, if not more effective, than any of these more elaborate kind of ritualistic banishings. I find sorting out problems in your life, like not just your to-do list of what chores you have to do, or what work stuff you have to do, but even more about like sorting out relationships or sorting out things that have gone on that have gone a bit too long, or there's loose ends in your lives, whatever. I think that at the act of sorting out the loose ends in your lives, in your life, is probably the most magical act you can do. And of course, then you're getting into shadow work and stuff like that, which is, you know, pretty much standard magic work at this point. The only other item that I would say that is possibly the most magical thing in the world that most people think is mundane, you know, when you get a new lead or like a new camera or a new, I don't know, set of headphones, and there's a steel wire covered in plastic that wraps those leads up. They're the most magical things in the world. Always keep them. They come in super handy. So they're whatever they're called. That's my actual real answer. Leemond asks, thoughts on the Mandela effect? Do any stand out to you as having any personal significance? For those people who've been living under a rock who don't know what the Mandela effect is, it's essentially this kind of notion that things have changed, that something that you were quite sure of as being true has changed and has not been what it always was. In a sense, it's like it's been retconned, not that you were wrong about it. Although the kind of thing that's thrown back at the Mandela effect believers is that it is just you have been mistaken about it rather than something has actually changed. But I have to say that there is some of them that I find quite compelling, and I don't really, I don't have a rational explanation to it, and I do kind of fall into the trap of, or maybe it's not a trap, but I do fall into finding myself in some way believing it, but still at the end of the day, I still think most of these Mandela effects are probably just misremembrances, but there's some interesting ones. For instance, I have one that I am very aware of on a very personal level that happened, and that I remember a TV personality called Clive James, and he died years ago. And I remember having a conversation with my mother-in-law all about him and various different things. But of course, then he died again in 2019. And I remember going, hold on, he was definitely dead. I had conversations about him being dead. And I can't really fathom that one because I don't think I was confusing it with someone else because it was a very specific conversation we had. So that one's interesting. And a lot of people do kind of report that, you know, people dying a number of times, or I thought he was dead already, or, you know, whatever. Another one that I found really, really interesting too, this came up recently for me. There is a Mandela effect where a line from the Bible, I think it's Isaiah, and it talks about, as most people remember it, the lion lies down with the lamb. And there's plenty of photos of lions and lambs, of photographs and pictures and paintings and stuff like that. But the actual, if you read the Bible right now, before it got changed, is that the wolf lays down with the lamb, or even not even lays down, there's something, it's slightly different. The interesting thing about that is I was reading A Course in Miracles last year, and it was the unedited, the original Ur-text version of it, and there's a load of footnotes in it that aren't necessarily in the official version that came out. And Jesus quotes the lion lays down with the lamb in it, And one of the footnotes claims, even Jesus points to this often misquoted quote, whatever. But he's using it in context as a line from the Bible. Another one, and this kind of has to be something that I've seen because it's not something that happened in Ireland. In the same way, like the Berenstain Bears, it just wasn't something that was ever on my radar. I don't even know them. I've never seen the cartoon. I've been told it has been shown here, but maybe I was too old. It came later. I don't know. It's not something that's part of my life. And this one as well seems a very American thing. So I must have seen it somewhere. But this idea of that when you look in the mirror, it's like a car mirror. It says objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear. And I remember, it must have been in a film, must have been something. In my head, it's Jurassic Park, but I don't think it is. Maybe it's something like that where they're looking in a mirror and it says it on it. And I often wondered why it says may. May, you know, that seems like a very odd kind of wording for it. Of course, it turns out that's not what the case is. The may is not being in it at all. It says objects are closer than they appear. But there's an interesting one with that because it's not something that was in my life. It's obviously something that was in a film. And I think some of these things can really be affected by that you're getting the Mandela effect, not from the original thing, but from the secondhand information. So like something like, no, I'm your father, rather than look, I'm your father, can come from years of, you know, sketches and people talking about it rather than an actual remembrance of the movie. Some people completely disagree with that. And so be it. The problem with the Mandela effect is you can't argue it because even if someone comes out with the most ridiculous Mandela effect, the only thing they have to say is, yeah, but that's in your universe. It wasn't like this. In my universe, you know, the moon used to be pink. And, you know, there's no arguing that. And maybe it was pink and maybe you shouldn't argue it, but again, you're falling into the area of unfalsifiability. And so what do you do with that? But yeah, overall, I find it interesting. The Fruit of the Loom one's interesting, given that the cornucopia is missing in our timeline. But the artist who drew the actual an album cover that it contains it in the 70s or something like that, drew it with the cornucopia, which is very interesting. He's convinced. It's like, I can nearly remember that being true as well. The C-3PO's leg, I remember I had a friend who had a C-3PO toy when he was a kid, and it definitely had a silver leg, because I remember thinking that was very odd. So, I don't know. I will say, maybe. How's that? That's the best. The Flying UFO asks, do you have any advice on how to better improve our psychic abilities? I really don't, because I'm not psychic. So, I don't know. You'd have to ask someone who is or claims to be psychic exactly what they did. And most of them, I would say, it's just a kind of a natural gift, possibly, or whatever. People like Rupert Sheldrake have done studies on the kind of psi phenomena, and when it has been shown to have an effect, it's a very, very slight effect. But his kind of point is that it doesn't matter if it's a very slight effect or a very large effect. If it's an effect at all, then it's a thing that happens. But it's not that it's a huge swing, even in people who are quite psychic. The one thing I would say as well about people who come across or claim or are, or whatever is the correct word there, who to feel they are empaths, I think an awful lot of that is just this whole idea of a highly sensitive person, and that they're just picking up on stuff that other people aren't, rather than not necessarily in a psychic way. Often that comes out of trauma and stuff like that, and learning how to have to pick up on all these kind of subtle cues that are all around you, you become hypersensitive to your area. So I suppose in that way, if you wanted to cultivate something like that, is just become hypersensitive to your area you're in. You know, we have a very kind of small focus of attention in our brain where we kind of think we're here somewhere looking out. And if you can kind of then see your whole consciousness as everything that's a bit further out, you know, everything that's in the room, everything that you're more aware of, and kind of feel that that's more where your center of attention is, you'll become aware of an awful lot more things. One way of really increasing your empathy with people is, of course, just to listen to people more rather than waiting to be your time to talk when other people are talking or trying to work out what you're going to say next. Oftentimes, I've been around people who think I'm psychic, and that's just because I'm listening to people, I'm aware of people, I know patterns, I can see what people are doing. Some things aren't a shock to me in the way they seem to be to another person. Also, I'm a highly sensitive person, so I've picked up on all that kind of stuff. But it's almost like if you know how the structure of most screenplays are done, or the structure of storytelling, or the three-arc thing, or the hero's journey, or whatever, you could see things, say, in films that a person who doesn't know that can't. And so from one perspective, it looks like you have access to knowledge that you couldn't possibly have. That's kind of, I think, more what psychic ability is, in that you have a clearer understanding of what's going on rather than you have access to information that other people don't. So, yeah, just widen your attention and listen to people. And Yeah, I think that's the best. Or go bother someone who's psychic and become their Padawan. The flying UFO, again, asks another question. What are your beliefs on death and the afterlife? I'm not really sure. I don't know. There's a huge part of me that hopes that when you die, that's it. That's it. It's over. And you don't have to come back and you don't have to learn anything more, that you've done your bit and you can sail into emptiness or whatever is the thing. And I suppose when we think about the kind of that experience, we kind of feel ourselves being conscious within that experience of endless nothing. And of course, that would be the end of consciousness, so you wouldn't be experiencing anything. In the same way, what happens after you die would be very similar to what happened before you were born. Your experience of now before you were born, not kind of some idea or some sort of projection, whatever. There was nothing there before you were born that you have conscious awareness of, or most people at least have conscious awareness. So what happens after you die is that's probably the same thing. You just no longer have conscious awareness of anything. In a more woo, my more woo days, possibly reincarnation, that seems like it would make an awful lot of sense in that, you know, you don't just have one life to experience everything. You have many, many lives until you get it right, or you get out of the cycle of samsara or whatever it is that you believe while you're reincarnating. It would certainly make it a bit more fair in many ways, but just because you have a preference for something or a feeling of fairness to it doesn't mean it's true. Some days I believe in reincarnation, some days I don't. Either way, if you are a believer in reincarnation and you have no access to your future or past lives, then this is the reincarnation and you still should focus on this life. Because that's the important one. That's the one you have. That's the one you can interact with. Everything else, even if it's true, is still a mental projection. In the same way, your past is a mental projection now, because you're not engaging with it with your sixth sense or your five senses, whatever, for your non-Buddhists out there. You know, you can't see with your eyes the past. You could at the time, but now it's a memory. You can't smell, you can't touch, you can't taste. You can only do that in the present, and you can't do it about the future as well. So this is the only place, the only time where we can actually fully have contact with whatever this phenomena is. You would like in some way to think that everyone you have ever loved is somewhere safe and happy and there in some way, but I genuinely don't know. I don't know which part of that is preference and which part of that is wishful thinking or which part of that is, you know, just me making up stuff in my head. I don't know. Death, the great unknown. We find out someday, I suppose. Funky Pumpkin. Nearly got that, pronounced that right. Have you gotten past the funk you mentioned from the Helio Black communications a while back? Is there still something residual going on there? For the most part, the major funk is kind of gone. And again, that whole thing that went through, particularly that took its zenith or nadir in November or around that time last year, wasn't just solely to do with that. There was a lot going on. It was a big year last year in many different ways. One of them being, of course, the Black communications, but plenty of other things. But I feel that it has led to a rather huge revealing of certain things. And just when I think it's died down or that the impacts have rippled out or whatever, something new and that kind of new torrent of stuff comes along. The sadness thing that I've talked about a lot on the podcast and the vlogs over the years, where I feel like I have a mourning or a sadness type thing, that was definitely revealed to me to a large extent, maybe not to a full extent, but the biggest layer of it, or at least the next biggest layer of it, quite recently. There was quite a big release around that and an understanding around it, which it feels like it was a direct kind of coming from all of that kind of stuff. But that again, just when you think you can, you know, have a burrito, I started really investigating other stuff that was, you know, around that, that came out of that in a sense. And I was able to see, once I got past this kind of sadness thing, I was able to look at my life in a different way that involved me looking at how, and this is currently where I am, it's quite tough at the minute, but it's deliberately tough because I'm instigating it, which makes it somewhat easier to handle because, you know, I can't feel that it's happening to me because I went looking for the trouble, big time went looking for the trouble this time. And it's really kind of opened up my life on my bad behaviours and how my kind of shadow, my kind of shitty assholicness affected the problems that I would have projected or seen as happening to me. And seeing that some of the kind of things that I throw at other people about how they are and what they represent or what their problem is, man, are in fact my problems. Not in that, I mean, in the exact thing that I allege they do or I throw at them is actually what I do. They also do it, but I didn't see the reciprocal thing of it. That's very interesting. That's very hard because you can see your whole life from a whole different new kind of way, and it's not nice. You're not the good guy in it, you know. And so between all that, I suppose lots is still going on, and it's gone from kind of feeling that, well, I suppose at the beginning with the black stuff, I did instigate that. Then all of this happened. I did join the arcane school, which also said that when you do this, loads of mad stuff's going to happen and your life's going to possibly turn upside down because you're going to be forced to look at stuff that you mightn't have looked at before. And all that happened. Now I'm still instigating, but I'm still pulling up the fight, I suppose. I'm still doing the work. But particularly this week, there's been some kind of shadow revelations about me. Oh, that just aren't nice at all. And so I'm dealing with that at the minute. But it's good, you know. I'm better known, right? I'm better known about my shitty behaviours and how I have affected my life rather than just blaming other people for it or saying the reason is because of this rather than the reason is because of what I did or seeing that it's a bit of both. All of these things. Abraxas. Say money isn't an issue. What do you buy? What do you do? Money is an issue. I'm definitely disappearing. That's it. I'm gone. I'm not hanging around with society at all. I will be in a cabin beside a lake in a woods reading and possibly meditating defense. would I even give up on all of these things? I don't know. I just have this kind of notion that wouldn't it be great just to disappear. But you could do that for 6 months and go, wouldn't it be great to hang around with people? It's hard to know. It's an interesting one for me to think of. Would I be doing any of this stuff that I do if there wasn't a kind of a financial thing to it, or even more than a financial thing, any kind of reward for it? You know, because say there was no money involved in doing it, as if I make a tremendous amount of money doing any of this, I make enough to more or less survive. So if the survival thing was taken out of it, I probably still would need the kind of reward, validation, you know, the bouncing of my ideas off other people, the interactions as well, that I would think on one level that I don't need, but it's still something I gravitate towards. So would my life fundamentally change? In some ways, I probably would live in a cabin beside a lake in a wood in seclusion, still making videos and putting them on YouTube and drawing comics, making music, and talking to people on Discord, etc., etc. I don't know. I'd have an awful lot more books. That would be certainly the case. So yeah, good people of the internet, that is another question and answers for this month. There's one more question where I'm going to do a video all on its own just for that, because I think an extended video on it would serve the question better than just a quite quick answer. If you would like to ask me a question, there's a whole channel on the Discord server that you can put a question in at any time and then I'll use it in the next question and answer video. Or join the Patreon, any level, and there'll be a post every month where you can put in your question. Also, joining the Patreon helps me out, keeps me going. In fairness, it helps me pay bills and keeps me able to do this for another month. That's the long and short of it. Buying a deck, buying some comics, buying a book, sending me money through PayPal, all of these things that every person on the internet is asking of everyone else on the internet to send them money. But yeah, if you find value in what I do, please do consider helping me out. But if not, that's cool too. I completely understand. And it's all good. You're under no obligation, as you already know. Anyway, good people of the internet, before I blabble any longer, may our best days be ahead. Be well.